Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Generally, our view is all the good things I achieve are either good luck or due to my own good qualities. All the struggles that I achieve is everybody else's fault. Yeah, if we check. All right. So we blame everybody else. So you can see this is a completely different view. Okay? This is a wisdom view. So our view is born from ignorance and born from our self-grasping mind and all our delusions, and that keeps us stuck in samsara, because what we're doing is we're trying to work to be lucky, and we're then trying to sort our externals and everybody in it to stop our own suffering. So good actions bring only happiness and never suffering. Right. So this is very important. Good actions bring only happiness and never suffering. So Geshe-la said, from person of the highest status to the lowest insect, this is the same for every living being. So good actions will only bring happiness and never suffering. Okay. Now, sometimes I think we become a bit disillusioned because we try to be a good person and yet so many problems happening. You know, you think, oh, well, being good doesn't work. You can't be kind in this world. This world is cruel. How can you be kind? If you're kind, you get walked all over. It doesn't work. And so people get hard, don't they? You know, people get hard, you know. And it's sad, you know, this sort of naivety of childhood. And we get harder and harder and harder. And we think, no, actually, then I need to be more and more selfish. You know, I need to have more negative minds, really, and that will protect me. That will bring happiness. But actually, all our good actions will bring only happiness and never suffering. So even if our good actions don't bring immediate result, happiness for us, we need to be confident in the teachings of Buddha to know that in the future it will ripen as happiness for us. Okay? So we are used to investing in our future. We're investing in our future all the time. We put our money aside. We're planning holidays. We're investing in the future, you know, having children, etc. We're always investing in the future. Okay? So, you know, if we put some money in the bank, we don't then get upset at that moment because it hasn't, I don't know, we put a pound in and we thought that by the end, you know, that we're hoping it'll make us £200, let's say. We don't look at it the next day and say, oh, that was rubbish. It's not worked. That hasn't worked. I've not got £200. Someone will say, well, no, you need to wait, be patient. You've put that money in the bank and it will definitely give rise to that. Yeah. And so it's a bit like that. So when we engage in good actions, we can't necessarily control the result at the moment when it's going to ripen. Okay? But we can be confident that all our good actions will definitely ripen in future happiness. And we can also be equally confident that all our negative actions will definitely ripen in suffering. And we can be certain that we are a mixture of both, and so is everybody else. Okay, so it's not about beating ourselves up about how terrible we are, and that's why our life is so terrible. It's, you know, this life is just a moment of many, many lives and the ripening of the karma that we've created. So Geshe-la said, it's also possible that positive actions done early in this life will produce results later in the same lifetime. Okay, so appear, the results of our actions can appear in this life, they might appear in our future lives. Okay? But we can't invest looking for results. Okay? It's one of the, we've got whatever we can't focus on the result. This is where our faith comes in. We've just got to be confident that eventually we will reap the rewards of our good actions. So the cause of happiness is good karma. So all our physical, mental well-being and happiness result from our own accumulated positive actions or positive karma. Buddha teaches that without cause, there cannot be any results. Okay? So Buddha teaches that without a cause, there cannot be any result. So if we want happiness, we have to have the cause of happiness, which is our good actions. So we know that it's true on one level that without a cause, there can't be a result. So Geshe-la used the example of a seed and a sprout, that you can't have a sprout without the seed. When you plant the seed, you're going to get the sprout. You can't have the sprout without the seed. So we know this sort of generally in our life, but with our external life. But when it comes to our internal life, we reject it. So he said, all functioning things arise from causes. In the same way that sprouts arise from seeds, all other functioning things arise from causes. Just as external things, such as sprouts, depend upon causes, so too do internal, such as our minds, also depend upon causes. Okay, so all our thoughts, all our feelings, there's nothing is random. Nothing's a coincidence. Nothing is good or bad luck. Everything has arisen due to a cause. It's the same in our external world, and it's the same in our internal world. So he said, all happiness arises from positive causes and conditions, from positive actions of body, speech, and mind, and all difficult forms of anxiety, dissatisfaction, suffering result from negative karma, our negative actions of body, speech, and mind. Right? So he's not saying because we have strong anxiety that we are a negative person. Okay, he's just saying that we have a ripening of negative karma. Okay, so we can't identify with the karma that's ripening either. Okay? Because if we grasp at it, then we create the causes for more suffering. Okay? So our karma will ripen, and it can ripen in thoughts, feelings, external experiences. Okay? It's ripening all the time. Our karma is with us. It's like the shadow of our body. It's with us all the time. It never ceases. It never stops working. Okay? So Geshe-la said, a poisonous seed will produce a poisonous plant. A medicinal seed will grow into a medicinal plant. A pea seed will produce peas, not wheat. And a wheat seed will produce wheat and never peas. Okay, so again, helping us to see that if we engage in lots of negative actions, those negative actions will never, ever give rise to suffering. Sorry, will never, ever give rise to happiness. No more than a pea seed will give rise to a wheat seed. So our conclusion is that if we want happiness, we should strive to produce good karma. So we need to think about karma and its function until we get a powerful conviction that arises, that all our good arises from all the good causes that we've created, and all our bad comes from the bad causes that we've created. And this is actually the foundation of all Buddha's teachings. So all the other teachings that we like, right, that we practice, that we enjoy, that open our heart, all our practices, without an understanding and a conviction in karma, they have less power. Once we mix an understanding with karma with all our practices, then all our practices become very, very powerful. Because he said, if we're not convinced about karma, then it's difficult to practice Dharma. So up to now, we have experienced many problems arisen from negative causes that we have created. Now we need to use our body, speech, and mind to engage in pure behavior. Okay? And again, that word pure, and this pure just means engaging in actions with a pure motivation, a good motivation. Okay? And when we look at moral discipline later on, I'll explain a bit more about that. Okay, so trying to engage in all our actions with a good motivation. Okay, so we can engage in the same action with different motivations, and it will gain different results. Okay? And it's our motivation. It's not what other people think. Okay? So there's, you know, stories in the scriptures of, you know, great yogis and yoginis who everybody else thought they were crazy, or that they were selfish, or they were this, that, and the other. Nobody knew their motivation. Nobody really knew what they were doing. Right? And if they'd listened and been influenced by others, they might not have done what they needed to do in order to achieve enlightenment. So it's not about what other people think. It's about us, our motivation to engage in actions, always checking what is my motivation. He said, if we do this, then in the future, there is no basis for suffering to arise. If we hold this view, we will also have fewer problems and lead a meaningful life. So ultimately, if we hold this view, then there'll be no basis for future suffering. But in the meantime, we will have fewer problems and our life will become more meaningful. So if everything we do, we try to do with a good motivation, then this will make our life meaningful. You know, often people feel their life is quite empty and mundane, and they feel sad, you know, about their life. So many people feel so sad about their life. But actually, our expectations have to change. Okay. It's not about huge deeds. It's not about huge deeds. It's about a pure motivation. That is what will make our life meaningful. You know, so he said, for example, he said, a little poison can cause great suffering. He said, a small seed can grow a big tree. So an acorn, for example, can grow a huge tree. Right? So an acorn's very small, but this huge tree arises from it. A tiny drop of poison can destroy this human life for us. Okay? So it's not it's not the size of the actions that we do. It's the power of our motivation. So if we spend our life just doing little actions, you know, within our capacity, but with a good motivation, then we are creating powerful seeds or imprints upon our mind. And these imprints will ripen as our future suffering. And they accumulate, actually. There's what's a cumulative karma, but I talk about that another time. So two types of karma, negative and positive. We create our own karma, and this karma is inseparable from us. Okay. So it's not, other people can't create karma for us. And they can't take or change our karma. So it's all about real personal responsibility. Buddhism's all about taking personal responsibility by seeing that our karma is our responsibility, and nobody can pop something into our karmic imprints. Do you know what I mean? I can't say, oh, I fancy giving you all my negative ones. There you go. Your life's too good. Have a few of these. You know, we can't shift it. And likewise, I can't think, oh, you know, poor thing. Here, you know, take all my positive ones. Right. So it's not, we can help others through power of blessings, but that's a different thing, because that helps to ripen positive potentialities upon their mind. And the fact that we're able to help them, such as empower and sometimes helping people with purification, is because we have a karmic connection to do that. Okay, so it's always coming back to our karma, the karma that we are creating. But we are never separated from our karma. From life to life, our karma is always there, and it's always ripening. And it's not just one imprint is ripening. There's many imprints ripening simultaneously all the time that appear the world that we are born into, that appear the type of environment that we experience, that determine the different experiences we have, that determine the tendencies that we have. And this karma isn't fixed, right? It's changing all the time. So different imprints can ripen. And that's why you can get somebody who maybe have killed in an earlier life, but later on they meet Dharma and they dedicate their life to caring for and benefiting others. Okay, it's not fixed. Karma isn't fixed. It's not fatalistic. Okay? But at the moment, it's just for us, it's just ripening without any control. So that's why we never know from one moment to the next what sort of feelings we're going to have. Right? We never know. We never know from one moment to the next how our environment's going to change. We never know from one moment to the next what our experiences are going to be like. We never know from one moment to the next what our tendencies are going to be like. Okay? Our karma is ripening, it's changing. You know, it's always moving. You know, it's not static, it's not fixed. And this is wonderful, actually, because it means if we don't like the person we are, or the way we perceive ourselves, we can just change our karma. So it's actually, if we can understand this, it gives us control. If we can learn to work with our karma, eventually we can control what appears, what we experience, until eventually we control our karma so that all we experience is positive thoughts, positive feelings, positive environments, etc. In other words, the mind, body, and environment of a Buddha. I think the hardest thing for us about karma is, it's like if we could go have an x-ray, you know, and someone said, well, let me have a look. Let's have a look what you've got going on in there. Let me just see. Oh, yes, goodness me, woof. You've got a lot of, you know, imprints. Look, there they all are. All those negative imprints, you know, like looking at a brain scan or something. Oh, look at all those black dots. That's all your negative stuff. And see all those white dots. Oh, that's all your positive stuff, you know. And they think, okay, they're great. Now I have something I can work with. I see that. That's some form. But it's not like that. Our potentialities don't have form because our mind doesn't have form. So you can't have something that's got form on something that's formless, can you? You know what I mean? It's like, so we can't be shown. The only way we can know is through our own experiences. Do you feel you have control over your life? Do you feel your life has been fair and just? Do you feel that the actions you engage in this life always give rise to the results that you want? Do you feel that you are happy all the time, even though that's your only wish? Do you know what I mean? We have to ask ourselves these questions. Have all the different methods that you have used to try to find happiness, have they given you happiness? And if not, why not? Do we know anybody who has experienced a perfect environment, a perfect life, etc., in our ordinary world, even though they have financial power, etc.? Okay. So it's the more we contemplate, the more we think, okay, there is something else here. And maybe I can't see it on an MRI. Maybe it's hidden. Okay. So that's why we say karma is a hidden object. It's not manifest. It's not easy for us to understand. It's subtle. Something subtle, it's harder for us to understand, but not impossible. But the more we study, the more we contemplate, and I think the longer we live, the more we realize without understanding karma, there are no answers to anything. And we're just left with why. You know, it's interesting because human beings, you know, after a certain age, all they ask is why. You know, anyone who's brought up children, it's why, you know. So you say the grass is green, why, you know. So it's all this why. And then we're given various answers, you know, and there's often a lot of answers that we sort of then deferred to, aren't we, when you're older. or, ask your dad that one. Or, do you know what I mean? So, or check with your teacher, you know. But then as we get older, we hit that again, I think. Why? You know, how many times have you sat with people and they've said, I just don't understand why this is happening. Why is this happening to me? You know, and we look at them and we think, oh, I don't know. You know, without understanding karma, we don't know. And so it's this why. Human beings have always asked why. So the answers to our why is the law of karma.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.